Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Gallen. We're going to be talking today about the Houghton Keweenaw Communities That Care, and specifically also the Youth Involvement Work Group, because I am joined by two members of that work group, Nyla Kopanen and also Haley Bodwine. And here to help out is Ray Sharp, who's the Executive Board Chair of the Houghton Keweenaw CTC. Everybody, welcome to the program.
Hi. Good morning, Rick.
Since you are sharing a mic, make sure you lean into the mic as you talk so we can definitely hear you a little bit better. Let me start with our two younger of the guests. Nyla, we'll go with you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this program?
Haley brought me one day because she told me about it, and I thought it was really interesting. So I went with her, and I really liked what I saw, like how they were playing and everything.
Haley, your turn.
I went because my mom works down at Dial Help, and she kind of told me about it, and she asked me to go, so I went, and I just really liked what we were doing, so I stayed involved.
Now, the Youth Involvement Work Group is part of the Houghton Keweenaw Communities That Care. Ray Sharp, we'll bring you in right now. Give us an overview of what the CTC is.
The idea behind the CTC is it's kind of a youth prevention coalition trying to, you know, help make a community that supports youth to be healthy and safe, and maybe steers us, you know, all of our children in good directions, so away from alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, and towards school success and success in life. So the name Communities That Care is important because it takes a whole community working together and speaking with one voice. That's why we have work groups that have young people and professionals, parents, and, you know, retired folk all coming together to plan how we can be more effective in the community and bring new programs into schools, you know, and community events.
Do you work with other existing programs and organizations that are in the area?
Well, we do. A lot of the people that are on our work groups might work, you know, like I work at the health department. We have people from Dial Help, Copper Country Mental Health, Great Lakes Recovery. So we have people who are professionals in the prevention field, but then school people as well, principals, school counselors, teachers. So we kind of take a look at what are our existing resources, what types of education programs and positive outlets for youth are already there, but then we try to drill down and see what are some of our risk factors based on youth survey data and how we can make plans to make a safer, more supportive community.
Well, how important is it to have young people involved with this, like Nyla and Haley, to, you know, help do the research and implement the programs? Why can't the grown-ups just all do this?
Yeah, I think with the grown-ups, we have our role, right? You know, and I've raised three children, and so I kind of have a perspective, but I think that along with that, we don't just need the old timers like telling the young people what to do. So I think it's great that we have Haley and Nyla here, and I know that they've already reached out to, I think, at least 20 teens that are going to start to get involved. We're planning what we call mini community board orientations for them, so that the youth will kind of get a version, so they'll know more about what our aims are, and they can kind of speak the language as well. And I think they can be more effective talking to their peers directly than someone like I can.
Haley, I'm going to direct this question at you, because there's so many draws on a young person's time. I mean, not only is there school, but after school activities, sports, a number of things to be able to get involved in. This is a choice that you've made to make this a priority. Why choose this, you know, when you have so many other things you have to do too?
Well, I chose this because it touched more the heart, you know, like it's more something I'm more interested in. Yeah, we have a lot going on and we're busy, but this is something I definitely feel okay with making time for, putting off and doing homework later just to go help out and be able to help other people and come up with ideas.
Nyla, before becoming involved with the CTC, were you already doing this type of work? I mean, were you involved in whether it's 4-H or Girl Scouts or through student leadership or anything that sort of prepped you to be ready for a role like this?
No, I really wasn't.
Okay, then what drew you to it?
Well, I just really liked like the kind of things they like touch base on and how they want to help prevent things, and like I just want to be part of like making the community better.
We'll talk about the ways that you're able to identify where your efforts are best spent. And you did a survey, I believe.
We had a youth survey at grades 8, 10, and 12 in most of the area schools in December 2016. Actually, pretty soon we'll be doing that again, December 2018. So every 2 years, the Communities That Care brand, they have a survey that we do so that our survey results can be compared with communities across the country. But also having that rich source of data where many hundreds of thousands of students across the country have taken this survey, we were able to pinpoint areas where we might have higher risk factors in this community and areas where our students are doing really well.
It's good that you do this every few years because what's most important is going to change every couple of years. You know, I don't know how up to date you keep on current events, but you know, a survey even done in 2016 and 2018, some of those things, especially with some of the stuff that's in the news with the gun violence in the country and of course the opiate epidemic, you know, what becomes very important to people changes over time. What was, according to the 2016 survey, those items that people identified as the areas of greater risk?
Well, you know, we found a lot of community strengths, things that we're doing really well. We generally, in this area, we have strong families and, people that care about youth in their communities. We have great schools. We did find four or five risk factors that we put together in a program and a slideshow and then invited the community to vote in June of 2017 to narrow it down to two risk factors. And the ones we selected to focus our efforts on were the low perceived risk of harm from alcohol, tobacco, and drugs. So that's just saying that we had a little higher percentage than to be expected or nationally of people that thought, well, okay, drugs aren't that big of a deal. Low perceived risk of harm. And then the other one that we identified was symptoms of depression or anxiety. We found that about 40% of the teens that participated in these surveys had at least one answer to this long survey that indicated that they've had some experience with depression or anxiety. It doesn't have to be chronic, could just have been episodic, but that's a high number, but it's not too unusual when you look at health statistics nationwide. Still, we thought that that's important, and that can be a risk factor that can make some students try alcohol or drugs or not be as successful in school. So those are two that we want to do our planning around to try to bring some programs to schools to kind of fill the gaps.
Now, Nyla and Haley, you two, you're in the trenches. You're literally the ones that are, you're going to school every day, you're with your peers, you see these risk factors on display. So, Mr. Sharp here can give us a pretty good higher end, I guess, a highbrow explanation of what these, risk factors entail. What from you, just you and your friends? Let's start with the first one. The low perceived risk of drugs and alcohol. How do you see that in your sort of day-to-day going abouts?
Well, I agree that from the survey that is a problem because many kids will be like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? And a lot of kids will just go out and party and they don't think about the consequences of what could happen, of like the negatives. Like, what if like they decided to go out driving or something? Like, they just don't see it as a bad thing anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, they kind of just think, like, oh, it's not going to happen to me. So they think, like, it's okay for them to do it. Like, they don't understand, like, the consequences, I guess, like, what's going to happen to them.
And then when it came to depression, I see it a lot, especially, it just seems to be more prevalent, actual depression or even despair in younger people. How are our younger young generation dealing with things like depression, whether it's chronic or more localized?
Well, from what I see, a lot of kids who do suffer from it, they don't seem comfortable asking for help. They turn more towards social media and make posts about it, like trying to look for help, but you can just tell that they don't know where to go for help.
Yeah, like you can tell like they don't have like a support system, I guess, to try to talk to them about it with.
Back when Ray and I were going to school, it was when you looked at education and people, especially like science and math, it was considered nerdy, and nerdy was a bad term back then. And it was to apply yourself to something like school was uncool. And I love that in the, you know, basically one generation later, my daughter walks around with, you know, a geek or a nerd shirt on, you know, and it's, she's proud to, you know, to do this. And she should be. She's going to, you know, have a lot of success with it. I could see that we probably at the, right now we have the same type of stigma when it comes to getting help for depression or, you know, avoiding alcohol and drugs, that it's not cool to do the things that you two are doing right now perceived by your peers. I think it's great. I think it's very cool. Yeah. You know, but how do you communicate, you know, those needs to, you know, the general population at your school, your friends and classmates? How do you tell them, you know, it's cool to not partake in drugs and alcohol, or it is cool to get help rather than just posting something up on social media? It's cool to go ahead and you know, talk to somebody and be open about those things.
You know, Rick, one of the, as we go, I'll jump in here, as we're in our action planning phase, so we're trying to respond to those identified risk factors and the risk factor about depression and anxiety. We found that most of our schools have some type of what you might consider drug education, kind of like, you know, the souped-up modern science-based version of DARE. So one of them is called life skills training. But we found that most of our schools don't have this sort of basic awareness level training for students or staff sometimes on issues of depression. So that's what we're identifying in our action planning. They've used a program, and there are several of them out there, but they've used one in Calumet at several grade levels, and they're going to be debuting it in Houghton this year. So we want to make programs like that more available to all the schools. And at the first level, it's for all students, and it's a one-hour DVD and a little screening tool that they take a little answer 10 questions afterwards. But it's just to give students maybe more tools of how to know, like, what to say if they have a friend who's troubled or if they're feeling badly and they want to talk to someone. So it's just kind of that awareness level and maybe to kind of get some conversations going.
That would be kind of my next question. Then once you get those conversations going, are you finding that our younger generation, they want to talk about these things? They just need to find a way to be able to do it.
Well, I think so. And, you know, I'm an old timer. So, you know, I'm a skeptic about, I'm not the expert on the effects of social media, but I do kind of think that when you talk to someone face to face and you have this a warmer, more authentic communication with gestures and looks and everything, as opposed to on social media, I think maybe it can be more supportive and more reassuring. And there is some indication that some of the social media platforms have this unintended consequence of sort of a feedback loop where you get people to like your post and it makes you feel good, but then when you're off of there, then you feel down. And it's kind of like an addiction cycle, like you get a good hit of that drug and then you come down off of it. And that's, it seems like there may be this feedback loop that is driving some of the anxiety and depression is actually from too much screen time.
Nyla, you were just nodding there a moment ago about when I asked, you know, the young people, they want to be able to talk about this. They want the conversation started, and you seem to agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think she agrees with it because, well, like I was saying, a lot of friends, like if they see one of their friends struggling or like another classmate, they just don't know what to say to them, yeah, or like how to approach it. Like, it's such like a sensitive topic to everyone, so they just don't know what to do, and they just need to know what to do.
And Ray had brought up about social media, people posting things on social media, and you know, unfortunately, that I think social media has a tendency to sometimes bring out the worst in us. And it can have, you know, the negative feedback. You know, you try to share, you know, something that's you're struggling with or your actual feelings, and you can put them out there, and you know what the responses you get aren't always helpful. They can actually hurt the situation a little bit.
Yeah, like someone could easily just go and make fun of it. Like, if you post something more sensitive on social media, people won't take it as seriously, and some people go and make fun of it or go show other people and be like, oh, look what they're posting, you know?
Well, I think this can be a great reason why we're having a youth involvement work group of our communities that care. So, you know, the big overview is Houghton, Keweenaw Communities That Care. can do get local data and find these science-based tested and effective programs. But really, we need to make our schools and our communities like safe spaces for talking. And maybe as more youth get involved and they learn more of the tools that people like Haley and Nyla, they can be conversation starters in their schools, and they can help to make that culture change, make that safe space to talk.
Well, I think that the work that you're doing is so helpful and so desperately needed. You do a lot of activities as well. Recently, we talked about your logo contest, and I want to see if we have an update from that.
We got quite a few entries from many different schools that are very well, and we will be... What day are we going on that?
Well, there's a couple of events to know about. One is at the Portage Lake District Library on Monday, March 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. There's going to be like a reception for all the students who had who entered the logo contest and their parents and families. And, you know, the public's welcome. There will be refreshments there. So it's kind of an art exhibit on March 5th at the Portage Lake District Library. And then we're going to have a... when the winning logo is selected, with some help from the art and design school over at Finlandia, we'll have our community quarterly board meeting, and that's March 15th, which I think is a Thursday night, over at the Institute on Sharon Avenue, 900 West Sharon Avenue, from 6 to 8 p.m. And we'll have, like, the contest winner. We'll reveal that and announce it. This is a meeting that's primarily for people that have been through our community board training, or they've been active or a member of a work group. But if you're listening to this and you want to come to that and learn more about the CTC, Communities That Care, I would say give Mary Ledoux at Dial Help a call. She's our coordinator, and she might be able to give you more information and maybe even persuade you to come to that March 15th meeting. And you could always call Dial Help and ask for Mary Ledoux at 482-9077.
For young people that want to get involved, say getting involved in the youth involvement work group, how can they get involved?
Well, I really push that we should have more people join. Like, we have quite a few now, and it's just a really good thing that you should join. And if you want to join, you could either contact me at my email, which is haleybctc@gmail.com, and because I'm one of the co-chairs to the youth group, and I can give you information on the next meeting, and or else you can go to our Facebook page and just look for the post, because we'll make a post on what the next meeting will be.
What's the title of the Facebook page?
Well, I don't know, but if you search for Houghton Keweenaw Communities That Care, you'll find it on Facebook. And you guys are going to have a next meeting coming up, and you're actually going to have about a one-hour orientation to CTC, right? Is that scheduled now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure when it is, but you'll post it on Facebook?
Yeah, we'll post it on Facebook.
And that would be a great time for people to come. Do you guys have refreshments or anything going on there?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, good, good. That sounds like something that people should come and attend. And what ages would you want? High school, can middle schoolers come?
Anyone can come if they want to be involved.
Come. Can parents drop in? And
if you want, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Now, our listening audience includes people from all four counties. You guys are the Houghton and Keweenaw County Communities That Care. Baraga has their own organization, I understand, right?
There's a Baraga County Communities That Care, and there are new ones that have started for Ontonagon County and for Gogebic County even, which may be a little beyond your airwaves. But there are actually 14 Communities That Care organizations in the UP now, and they're connected with counties. So we're two-county Houghton Keweenaw because... you know, most of our high school students in Keweenaw County come down to Calumet, so
sure,
it's a two-county. Yeah.
Now, going back with Nyla and Haley, what kind of commitment do you have to give to be a part of this for somebody that's, you know, we talked about all the different things that people have to choose from. So, you know, how much time do you spend doing this?
Well, for a regular member, I have a lot of stuff I have to do on the side because I'm a co-chair, but, like, for Nyla, she can come and volunteer when she wants, but the only real commitment she needs to make is a monthly meeting, and it's towards the end of the month, always on a Wednesday. So it's just once a month, and it's an hour long, so you only have to give up an hour out of a month to come and do something good.
Okay. What do you do at a meeting?
Well, at our last meeting, we discussed ideas for fundraising so we can get the word out more at parades and stuff. And then at our next meeting, we're going to come... we picked a couple ideas, and I have to make phone calls to ask if we can, like, you know, drop off a coffee can at a gas station so you can drop in spare change or something. And at the next one, we're going to make a final vote on which fundraising ideas we find best and what events we want to go to. And then we're going to go from there on, like, if we're going to build a flow, if we're just going to have a sign, or what to do.
All right. What type of events have you done in the past? Can you give me any examples?
I have not been involved for too long. I joined in the winter, so I'm not exactly sure what events we have or have not gone to.
Right.
You know, it's been more organizational in the last 2 years. We're just getting going. You mentioned Berga County's Communities of Care. I've been involved with them for 4 or 5 years now. So they're kind of in the middle of their third two-year cycle, and they've had a lot more community events at some of the summer and winter festival type things they have there. They'll have a table and they'll do outreach and, you know, try to spread the word. So kind of that's what we're looking for now for our youth committee here. The logo contest, the logo will be, you know, part of making their efforts recognizable, kind of branding it. And I think they'll just go from there. This summer will kind of be more their debut to the local community.
Awesome. Well, definitely. We're looking forward to it. There's a lot of, you know, great education that you can do to, you know, encourage people to turn to the right sources for help, whether it is with drugs and alcohol avoiding, or just trying to, you know, rather than trying to get off drugs and alcohol, avoiding it altogether, getting involved with the right people, the right organizations that are going to give you positive reinforcements and keep you from going in that direction. And also encouraging people, if they are struggling with anxiety or with stress, or with depression, there are so many places for people to turn to, and getting them the courage to be able to do it, to reach out, because just reaching out and trusting somebody else with those problems that we so often internalize, that could be the most difficult step. And knowing where to go once you make that decision, there's often, you know, you might be screaming for help, but not sure even who to ask. So,
and you know, just for anyone listening to that, they can always call Dial Help 24/7, and that can be a starter. If you don't have someone in your life you can talk to, you can talk to Dial Help, and maybe they can just talk, or they can make a referral to a program or something that might help you more.
And Dial Help, they can help you if you're not comfortable with calling. They have online help. They can even text Dial Help. So they have those programs as well for those that prefer to do 99% of their communication through text. I know a lot of people do.
Exactly. You might ask for Mary Ledoux and get more information, and maybe decide to come to our community board training on March 15th, or our quarterly meeting, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we wrap it up?
Well, also, if you don't want to text Dial Help, you can also text 35 Needs, which is another crisis line you can text. But
yeah, that's great.
All right. Thanks so much. And so if you need more information, check out the Houghton Keweenaw Communities That Care Facebook page. And thank you so much to Nyla Competent and Haley Bodwine for coming in, and Ray Sharp as well.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.